James, I have a friend named Kurt Weller, and I do a blog spot radio, blog talk radio with him. And he did one of the best interviews of me. It's sort of like my Playboy interview. But we get together every week or so and talk about whatever happens. I'm not under pressure. I'm not under the scrutiny of Ion, so I can actually, you know, relax and be stupid.
And allow.
Be smart. I can be smart when there's no Ion around.
Yeah, Ion isn't always saying, oh.
Yeah, yeah. So, what happened back on December 20th? Maybe you met her, James. Did you know or come across Brittany Murphy?
Yeah, I'd met her, but I did. We didn't go hang out and go bowling together or anything. No, I've met her.
All right. Well, on December 20th, 2009, says here in the news, Brittany Murphy, who made a splash playing the makeover victim in Clueless and later battled substance abuse, died today in Los Angeles. She was 32. The L.A. Fire Department was called to a home owned by Murphy's husband, Simon Monjack, where she was found in cardiac arrest and could not be revived. TMZ reports and multiple sources are confirming. Now, this is appropriate for another anniversary. Here we are, a year after our press conference. We did it in July after researching Michael Jackson's transition, or fake transition, which happened on June 25th. And sometime third week in July, we did a press conference with 37 questions that have all been looked at by different media. And the doubts raised by us have been confirmed for those that want to believe that. So it's appropriate that we come to a new level. It's going to be a new level because Kurt Weller, he was personally puzzled by Brittany Murphy's death. Something bothered him about it. And then when Simon Monjack died 5 months later, that made him really peak up his curiosity. But he didn't know, he wasn't getting anywhere in researching it, so he wondered if Ion had anything to say. So it turned.
I can already see where it's going. All right, keep going.
Look at James just quivering with excitement as the foreplay reaches a level of intensity even James didn't foresee. Okay. Okay, so it says that there are at least 10 types of prescription drugs, including anxiety, pain, and anti-seizure meds, were found on the actress's nightstand. But the L.A. coroner's office said, L.A. County coroner said, no alcohol containers, paraphernalia, or illegal drugs were discovered. So here's what happened, James. I checked in with Ion, and there's a spiritualist, that's what I am preferred to call her, in L.A., called Angela or Angelina Martinez.
Oh.
Maybe you know her.
No.
Ever heard
sorry.
Of her?
No.
Angelina Martinez. About 3 years ago, Brittany was a little upset that she wasn't getting any media attention, wasn't getting movie roles, and it wasn't going the way she might have thought her career would go, you know, 10 years before because of the Clueless movie. So she was a little down, so she went to this woman, I don't know how she found her, for some insight on what to do about her, maybe her psychological state. And Angelina Martinez recommended she get in her car and drive, I guess, outside of L.A. into the desert regions or less populous regions. And at a certain point, she would see this, if I remember, Ion, a shimmering light. What was it that she would see out there?
Hey, within her windshield, she would notice a light, and it would be very definite, moving about a bit, but then would increase exponentially, so it would fill her field of vision.
Okay, so she did notice that, and fortunately, I don't know what she perceptively did, but she managed to drive through it. Now, would that be a gate or a portal? Is it
portal?
Even though it's a car going through, but that's not the plane size, which we call a gate.
Right.
Yeah, so this so she goes through the portal.
That would be known as a Big Mac portal.
A Big Mac portal, okay. Now she had taken a little meth. She wasn't a drug user, but she had taken meth for some reason, and so a little hopped up on that. So that helped her relax her mind, and so she went through the portal and managed to get back. I don't want to get into all the details. Maybe Ion could go fill in the particulars or the questions come from the audience. So she went out there, went somewhere else, and came back. And over the next 2 or 3 years, she was becoming so agile at driving out in her car and doing this that eventually she could just get in her car in her garage, sit in the garage in the car, and go that way. So as she got to know more about this, she decided, you know, it's more fun being in this other world, because while she was there, she started to build up her her celebrity profile. She started going to auditions, got a few gigs, actually doing well over there.
She was high on the IMD.com website.
The what?
The IMD.com website is the...
Oh, yeah, the Internet
standard.
Movie Database.
Yeah, that's the standard of... Yeah, exactly. So she was going up on that.
Yeah, so she was getting some gigs and feeling confident, so she decided she'd rather stay there. So she had to figure out how to disengage from here. So she started allowing herself to be seen as thin, rumors that she was on drugs. And for most of the people interviewed after she, quote, died, hadn't seen her in a while, so they made up stuff to say so that they could look like friends, that they'd been friends or something. But actually, no one was seeing her much because she was spending so much time away. So she set it up. She realized or found out that she could bring over a clone of herself, a physical clone. And this clone would look exactly...
I love this show already.
We've upped the ante already. And this physical clone would look exactly like her. So on the day, or approximately the day of December 20th, she brought over the clone, deposited in the bathroom, I think. Found her. Her mother found her on the bathroom floor at 8 in the morning, deposited the clone on the bathroom floor, arranged... 10 kinds of prescription drugs around the nightstand so that it would look like she screwed up on drugs or something. But unfortunately, when the coroner's there looked into her, she had no contents in her butt, in her belly, in her stomach, inside. Like, what the hell? What happened? So they thought that she was vomiting, I think, vomited up the stuff. And so they floated that story. So it says here, the decedent remained unresponsive and purged her stomach contents prior to the arrival of the paramedics. So they thought that she must have vomited this stuff and, of course, didn't realize that it was a dead clone that hadn't eaten in a while, and that's why there were no stomach contents. So she I guess, left that day and is having a good time. Now, Ian, could she come back? Is she agile enough to come back and visit?
Sure.
So here's this Brittany.
Sure.
Now, James, this is going to lead to a level way beyond what I'm apparently bogged down in right now, the details. But there's even more to this. So what happened is that after she pulled this off successfully, her husband was a bit puzzled about how this happened and started asking around and found out about Angelina Monjack, Angelina Martinez, that's Simon Monjack, and went and had a consultation with her to find out whether he could learn anything about what happened to his wife. And I don't know if she does this to everybody or, you know, I don't know how, and we can maybe get in touch with her, have her come on and, unless she's an offended person, doesn't talk about it. But I don't know how it comes up, but she informed Simon of what she had actually done, and this interested Simon. So he started rehearsing, and he started jumping the parallel worlds, and the method he did it by was he'd go over to his refrigerator, I assume in the kitchen, and then there'd be a little cooler, smaller fridge. You know what those are called, Carol?
No.
Anyway, some little...
Where you chill wine, it's a wine cupboard that keeps the humidity correct.
You don't call it a wine cooler.
Chiller. No.
Yeah.
Chiller.
So that's wine chiller, smaller fridge beside the big fridge. If he opened the doors of each at the same time, that was his way of getting out of this world and going to a parallel world. Well, he mastered this, so he decided to go find his wife, and he made efforts to disengage from this world. So he did a different method. He didn't get a clone. Why did he get a clone, Ion? Did he didn't know that method? Hadn't heard about it?
Well, that was just a little. It took a little. She'd had a lot more practice of making it seemingly apropos.
She could bring things over better, so to speak.
Well, she'd been practicing at it.
Okay, yeah, because he's only a few months into this. So he his strategy was to go to the Hollywood firms that have doubles, right? And so he wanted a double of himself, and he had a particular qualification for it. The double had to be someone who was going to die pretty soon.
Oh, my, not again.
So what's funny, James, is that they actually do find people who look like you and are sick. That's what's incredible. They must have been, you know, with the chip landscape, you can archive and create a database that...
Sure, do facial recognition with computers and get the right jawline and do a couple little minor surgeries, and you got yourself a great double.
Yeah, you can really... oh, that's interesting. Maybe they make them... I hadn't thought of that. Maybe they just get someone approximate, and then that's good enough.
No, you can go for a job if that's what your job wants to be, and you can sacrifice your body and work for somebody else being a double and just do some reconstructive surgery and file about a bunch of documents and court documents and have a nice day.
Yeah, I know that Bruce Wagner, who was the original cartoon writer for the great TV show, TV special called Wild Palms back in the spring of 93. Bruce Wagner has done a few novels, and I glanced at one in a store a couple years ago, and it's about the phenomenon in L.A. there of doubles being hired to perform, to
yeah,
be
they're,
at
they're used on the they're used on the set all the time for all stunts, stand-ins, and when the stand-ins started and doubles, when they have them on set before they set up for a shot, that turned into security got wind of that and then decided, okay, you know, for the bigger people that can afford it, we'll get stand-ins that actually look like the person and use them for diversion tactics for the media and all that other stuff and create stories too.
Right, and in his novel, if I recall, he has these people go to parties, so people can have a little party barbecue and have sort of a double of me or you, James, you know, hang around. They feel good about it, right?
Right, yeah.
Something like that. Have you been to those parties, seen
well, no,
a double
I,
or two?
Actually, when I was working on a show, casting on a show out here for Martin Short, we did two or three days where we had to get doubles of all the big celebs, and it's surprising how many of them come in and they really look close, exactly like them, and their secondary jobs are some of them are in security for the individual themselves. So these
right.
parties.
Did you see Martin Short?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a guy that was in Toronto with us in the late 70s, early 80s. He came from Hamilton. I think he came from Hamilton, Ontario. Okay, so he managed to get a double that looked like him, and the double was going to pass on, so it was arranged, and, you know, I don't know if the wife has figured it out yet. The wife of the double, his family, I mean, you know, if you're Simon Monjack, you say, okay, I want you to sub in for me and die for me. What's the benefit for the double? Well, if he has insurance, the double can't die as another person because there's no proof that his insurance would cover him because he didn't die unofficially. So he died as someone else. So Simon paid off the family like $250,000, and I guess the wife had accepted that the double was going to die, so loved to get this form of insurance under the table and didn't have to pay taxes on it. So everybody was happy. The double's ready to go. Now, this is someone who's really suicidal, eh? I mean, if he'd heard our show, he realized he didn't have to go, you know. But
right.
They don't all hear our show. So they don't hear our show, so they don't know the optimistic way you can live. So this guy died. Now, Ion, did he bring this double over to his home the day of the announcement of Simon's death or a day before? How did they set that up?
Day before. Because they had gone to even great strengths to schedule the bypass surgery and leak that story that he was having heart trouble. Simon, the real Simon, was having heart trouble and scheduling this procedure and, the whole process. So that it would be a very logical progression that, oops, we didn't do the surgery in time, and don't go poking, looking too hard when you're already scheduled for a bypass.
Right, and you've got to time it. You have to have this guy drop dead on his own. You know, you don't kill him. You just wait for approximately like Michael Jackson. That doctor who's been charged in association with the Jackson death, he sat around in that house for a couple of weeks for the double to die. You know, you just know he's going to die in a couple of weeks. So that's what happened here, right? You have an approximation of when you think the guy's just too decrepit to survive, correct, Ian?
Right. So if you're a doctor and you have a license and you want to take on this type of work, make sure you have lots of children so they won't take your license away from you.
No, I'm just puzzled by that.
He still has his license because he has lots of children to feed.
Oh, that helps you keep your license?
Apparently, it's the ticket.
Interesting. Okay, so what happened is, so Simon, this would be 5 months later, I think it's May 24th, it's just 2 months ago, James. 2 months ago, it says, Brittany Murphy's mother, Sharon, found the body of her daughter's widower, Simon Monjack, at the house the two were sharing. He was sharing a house with the mother. And Simon, during that 5 months before he'd left, he had to suffer rumors that he was having an affair with Brittany's mother. So DMZ was on top of that story. He denied it before he left. It says, a coroner's report, Brittany's mom made the 911 call. He was unresponsive when responders arrived and was pronounced dead at the house. Sharon Murphy had died rumors, Sharon Murphy, the mother, had denied rumors that she had become romantically involved with Monjack, but they had clearly become close. Monjack told a reporter recently that he planned to take her with him on a trip to Europe, saying, of course I'll take her with me. I can't leave her. She was ill herself, some problem. And so he had to be around to help her, ill condition, so weakened condition. So here's what they say. Though the cause of death being floated for Simon Monjack right now is natural causes, law enforcement told TMZ he may have accidentally overdosed on prescription drugs. Quote, there were a number of pill bottles on the nightstand in the bedroom. And some were empty, says one. Some of those drugs were the same as those found after his wife, Brittany Murphy, died 5 months ago. Do you realize that he set up the same scenario? All he knew was to imitate what Brittany had done, put a bunch of drugs on the nightstand.
Right, yeah, that's it, yeah. That's like the same thing that's on everybody's nightstand in Los Angeles.
Oh, wait, did I miss that? What did you say?
That's the same thing that's on everybody's nightstand in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay. So,
is that true? I beg to differ. I don't take drugs. I take vitamins, and I don't keep my vitamins on my nightstand. I want people to text in or phone in. Do you keep your drugs and supplements on your nightstand? I think that's just a Hollywood scenario.
That's what I'm referring to.
Okay, so it might be a good point. Let's say final count people do that. Okay, so Monjack.
Some of them obviously would have larger nightstands than others.
Right.
So Monjack also recently said he had a heart attack on board a plane last November. That would be before before Brittany passed on. And sources tell TMZ he was to have bypass surgery in September. So Murphy's mother, Sharon, Brittany's mother, who had found her daughter's body, also found Monjack's last night. Okay, so the guy successfully left, and everybody gets fooled by the double. It turns out, of course, only Ion, the Howard Cosell of the mass exodus and emptying of the guff, only he could maybe give us the fine details. It turns out that he went to the wrong world. He didn't find.
He ended up in Beaumont.
What was that?
He ended up in Beaumont.
Beaumont, okay. It's just sometimes your phone blips out for whatever reason. It could be our own hookup that causes it. Anyway, sometimes hard to get it. So Simon is wandering over in World 732, or Ion could give the number, and he hasn't found Brittany, and is he in a quandary about that, Ion?
Not so much. He's just enjoying his fun experience in the world he's in now.
And is it very much like this world or L.A.?
There are anomalies. There are anomalies.
But it's close.
Cuba.
I mean,
you can go to Cuba there.
So he has a car, he can drive around Highway 10 and all that, right there?
Certainly, but he moved up toward Oakland.
Okay. And what kind of environment is Brittany in? Like L.A.?
Like L.A. Bel Air's finest.
Okay. So, James, this all happened because Kurt Weller wanted to know about Britney. And so this unforeseen whole scenario came out, and I thank Kurt for, you know, asking me about it. I didn't even know about Britney. I don't know anything about this stuff. So so it was very interesting to find this out. So then that made me, I don't know if I asked this or not, but here's the big stunner. Ion told me.
There's more?
Oh, it was just beginning. Ion told, and this is why, this is, we're up in the ante. This is even a bigger story. Ion told me that in the course of my questioning and puzzling about how people do this and why they do it and all that, Ion pointed out that there are law firms that take care of this, that specialize in setting up your fake death. And I go, what? Nice. What? There are law firms?
Yeah, which
and
law
what
firm?
What did you say, Ion? And so I said, could you give me the names of these law firms? And Ion said, yes, and he named off about four different, you know, strings of weird names or just people's names. And I said, could I announce these names on cash flow? And Ion said, probably not, Bob. They just, if it got out, they just disappear really fast. And you're not helping them. It's a whole service, and why disrupt it? And so I started to realize that this is real information for the hoi polloi, the proletariat. We represent ourselves as part of the people, James, and the people don't know that there's this whole level of society, and usually they're people who have a lot of money and have reached some kind of secular success and are looking for more. And eventually they take so many drugs or they get whacked out and they occur that they can go to other worlds and then they figure out how to do it. This is what Michael Jackson and Elvis did. So there's a whole legal system which I think Ion says has been set up for the last 50 or more years, Ion. How long has these law firms been going on?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Yeah. So here's this whole
end of the war.
Since 1945. So this whole social structure of knowing people that have this situation. Now, this means, James, that there's a whole – this is what we'd add to Marx's class war, class level, working class, the bourgeois class. We have to ask – we have to include the parallel world class, people coming back and forth, which is part of the emptying of the guff that started 150 years ago when the telegraph came in. We're at 80% of the guff being emptied, so a lot of people showing up here that would not be here if you followed normal biological Darwinian pregnancy. We wouldn't have had this many people, couldn't have apparently. So you got this whole economic system, this whole social structure. That's the revelation here, James. The revelation is this: look, you're looking at your neighbor and you think he's a dummy or a jerk rich person, and that guy is so tuned in, he's getting ready to set up his fake death and move on to better worlds and be part of an economy. This is a new level of economy. Do you get what I'm saying, James?
Oh, yeah. No. That makes sense because,
well, of course, the airline.
Go ahead, Ion.
The airline industry will be picking up on this. You have economy class, and then you have business class, and you have first class, then you'll have to have a P class, a parallel world or class.
That's very interesting. So the airplane.
Then you'll have an F ticket for first class and a B and a C, and then you have the first class lounge, and then you have business class lounge, so you'll have a non-physical lounge. So it'd be great. All that segregation goes on anyhow, so it's keep them off of you.
Right.
And
so, yeah,
also
the
to top
good
that
one.
Off as well, Bob, you probably already know about this, but there, I think it came out in the last couple of months, there's actually an agency that represents dead people now, about 150 clients that they have that represents all dead people. So they're in bed with the law firms that are doing this as well.
Well, Ion, whoever that law firm, James, has heard of, would that be one of them?
So they're the ones that run PR and representing dead people who kind of got outside of the trust situation and the foundation situation. Mm-hmm. And there's voluminous information on that. Oh, and just by the way, everybody that has a foundation and a foundational trust and a trust, don't worry. Nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be all right because all of your senators and all your politicians have theirs secured. So don't think they're going to vote those to be exposed. So just keep going as you're going. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry.
Right. So, James, you know, I can't give out the names of law firms, but Ion says anybody who has a private reading, Ion tells everything in a private reading. You can get the names of the law firms if you do it privately, depending on how Ion is, I guess, the good mood or not. But so we're not totally blocking it. We're telling you how you can find out these details through private readings if you're interested. So anyways, it's interesting, the airplane is a microcosm. You got what, business class, economy class, and first class? Is that what the three divisions are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they call them different things.
Okay, so that's a model for traditional Marxist analysis of society. And now you have the P class, which, no, is that why, Ian, you call the iPhone a P pod? Because you actually travel discarnately with the chip body? That's very interesting.
That's what they're trying to get. That's why they're trying to get the 4G network so it can start having phones that work from world to world.
Wow. Okay, very good point. So, James, I didn't ask.
I love that.
I then asked Ion, who are some people who've done this? You know, some well-known people. Now, Ion listed off about 25 people, and I have not reviewed the list, but some of them were Eartha Kitt, one of the Gabors, Ava Gabor, maybe? It lists off a lot of people, but here's a stunner. Here's one that we can focus on. One person who faked their death for these reasons so they could go anonymous and enjoy parallel world interplay was...
John Lennon. John Lennon. Nice. That would fit. I would expect him.
Nice.
I would expect that.
What?
What?
What'd you say, James?
I would expect that from John Lennon.
Well, what's interesting, how did he set this up? How did he get a guy to murder a double? I have not asked Ion these details. I don't know if I am.
Well, there's an old Yiddish proverb that says, and everybody can remember it and look it up, such a good living a poor man can make if he's willing to die for the wealthy.
Such a good living a poor man can make if he's willing to die for the wealthy. Very interesting. Do you remember any others, Carol? Any other names?
No, but do you want to go into the John Lennon one?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I said, does Yoko know about this? And I think Ian said, yes, she figured it out. And what'd she think of it? No, I'm not sure where this leads to, but basically I asked Ian about Lennon, about Yoko, and Ian said something I don't know if we should say. But then he implied that Lennon was happy to leave.
Oh, wow.
In relation to something or somebody. Okay, ask your question, James. You want to focus on the John Lennon thing?
Well, yeah, is that the first time this has even been suggested this has occurred? Or has somebody else mentioned this before?
Nobody. Look, I don't even know how he could do it. I mean, how do you get someone to take the fall and go to jail? I can't remember his name. Mark somebody?
Was that Hinckley?
No, that was the guy who shot Reagan. Mark somebody. He's in jail, and I think he became a born-again Christian or something, repented. But anyways, what questions? I mean, I've never – look, this is absurd.
Mark
Lennon
David
setting
Chapman.
Up.
It's Mark David Chapman is the guy that did it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So why would Lennon make such a dramatic way to exit? So you ask some questions, James. I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah. So, okay. So when did he devise this idea? When did he, like, first initiate it? Well, he was making music during the heyday of his success, or when did it start?
Well, he found out that there were these 6 degrees of separation in his life within his outer kingdom, his inner kingdom, and his middle kingdom. And so he started noticing when he eliminated those degrees of separation of who, what, when, where, how, and why, that all of a sudden his world started just kind of euphorically changing. His body was responding. Things started working out for him. He had these thoughts, and he had but to have a thought, and the answer would show up and come into this place of where his mind had tricked him into a less-than state of serving the separation to the point that it got easier and easier and easier. So if you're going to use your time, there is no time, but if you're just trying to make a timeline, well, they change those too. But if you're just trying to get a notion, it would have been
not long after they were playing in the, after the White Album starts coming along, then things start kind of going nervously awry. And, of course, you want to go out at the top of your game. And it was very obvious that the yoking of this invasion was kind of not going so wonderful, I guess is a nice way to say it. So it's like a perfect way to go out. If it's like a dog wanting to go out at the top of their game when they go run out in front of the car and get themselves run over.
Mm-hmm. Well, the White Album comes out in 68, and the yoke, if you're punning there, happens at that period. The Beatles break up in 1970, so that's why, what, that's, you gotta get 10 years. Now, Lennon leaves Yoko in 73 and runs around LA with May Pang or somebody, for a while, and parties with Elton John, and then he goes into seclusion in about 1975 when his son Sean was born. And so he's in seclusion for about 5 years, and then he comes out in 1980. So what, your timing's off here. What's the White Album, the breakup of the Beatles? You're saying that's when he started doing it or started, and started planning his exit, or that occurred later?
Yeah. No, that's when he started working out all the details. There was no hurry. There's no rush. There's no time. There's no problem. And you say he went into seclusion. Isn't that interesting? He might have just been working out his home that you'd call going and preparing a vacation home so he could make this his vacation world.
Yeah, this becomes a vacation world, the other world, the main world. So the seclusion is when he's parallel worlding and rehearsing the whole scenario. That's what you do over the other world. You rehearse.
And then they go, oh, they're in seclusion, they're on sabbatical. They bought an island and no one's heard from them for 20 years, but they pop in now and again for board meetings, and it's no big deal.
That's Richard, what's his name? Richard, the British Virgin America, Richard Branson. So Richard Branson has an island. Marlon Brando had an island in Tahiti. Did Brando explore these potentials?
Certainly.
Wow. Maybe, you know, Ion says when you become a parallel worlder, your body changes, your body structure, and that's why Elvis looked overweight. That may explain Marlon Brando's huge overweightness.
Ah, that's interesting.
But
that's
it didn't
right.
matter
they
here.
Both, they
didn't
both look
here.
Gigantic whales. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did you just say, Ion? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter here. If you're going to another world, you can work all it out. Why not enjoy the jelly donuts here?
Good point. So, okay, so you're...
wait a minute. We nothing wrong with jelly donuts. Everybody have one with a little absinthe. We're not pushing against anything. But this whole place of not having to be so... having the rigidity within the dynamic of your food, what you take into your body, because we're clear, not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out.
Yeah, and so I know the story is, according to some of the biographies, that he and Yoko got into heroin around 68. Does that kind of drug activity help you loosen up your mind to do parallel worlding?
Well, if you're that codependent, yes. But most, it's not required.
Right.
Even creators can engage in the labyrinth of their mind and lock themselves into a place where you can catch Alzheimer's. I'm afraid to die, but I don't want to live. I'm afraid to die, but I don't want to live. So you can slip yourself into Alzheimer's. So... now, is that from drug use? No. It's just answering. It's your non-physical answering what's coming out of your mouth. I'm afraid to die, but I don't want to live. I'm afraid to die, but I don't want to live. So you just slip out. And those that get the Alzheimer's, then their body responds, and they get all healthy. That's the problem of the pandemic of Alzheimer's is they live a long time.
Okay, so he started this. Did he tell about this to Paul, Ringo, and
never.
He watched George meditate, and John didn't take that route. He didn't go the meditation route. Okay, so
mediation's only good when you're trying to settle out of court.
Mediation, and that would be the court of the relationship between you and you, right?
Apparently, yeah.
A lot of people sue themselves, take themselves to court.
Inevitably, yes.
James, ask some more questions. What do you want?
So, regarding John Lennon's death and then Mark Chapman, that whole thing, because a lot of people say that Mark Chapman was paid decoy and none of that happens. So the whole thing regarding the John Lennon death is total, complete fabrication from top to bottom, pretty much, because he used some other technique, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you ask Ian a question. Don't say too much. You keep it short.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so how has Yoko kept this covered up?
Has Yoko survived?
Yeah. You can't, James, you can't use how, what, when, where, why, and the other one. There's 6 degrees separation, each one of those things. So you go was or is. So what did Ian just say for you to say that?
Is Yoko...
Yes.
Surviving or whatever, whatever.
Yes.
Okay,
is
she, no, ask
is,
the question, James.
Is she happy living day to day knowing the truth about it?
Sure. She was always an independent artist, always anyway, so it's no big deal.
Is she discussing it with other people? Has she discussed it with other people?
Not at all. Never.
Does she explore it herself? No. Can she do it?
She could, but she's not.
Okay, she's a meditator.
She's got rules and regulations, and she's not going outside those.
Okay, and what is Mark David Chapman? How did he get suckered into this? Like, what did he do?
Bob, you're talking about suckered into it. You know, somebody's in jail, and then they're not, and then you hear they go back to jail, and you're going, wait a second, he's still supposed to be in jail already. How did he get back in jail when he's already in jail? Y'all making this out like this is great big thing. Iron bars do not a prison make.
I see. You get that? Oh, I hadn't thought of that, James. You bring your buddy from the parallel world back to be the guy to be the assassin.
You know, they do head count, but do they get your fingerprint when they do your head count? And it's not like that there's so few in the hoosegow that they're having problems keeping track. Up, cell block 8. Oh, nobody's present. Cell block 5. They're all gone to the beach. Okay. We're going to have to cut your time, Warden, because you've only got 2 people in your whole great big national security prison. We've not lost a soul. We've only got 2, but we hadn't lost a soul.
Is Yoko Ono aware of what Michael Jackson did?
From the few folks who listen to your show, they're talking about James, so yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, James, I just remembered, someone who knew that Michael Jackson was doing it had inklings of parallel worlding. Once he transitioned, she figured it out and is now an excessive parallel worlder and having a good time. Can you guess who that is?
No, I don't know. No, tell me. Madonna? I don't know. Who? Who?
No,
Lady Gaga?
Good friend. Yeah, it was told to us that she was a very good friend of Michael Jackson. Well-known friendship.
Mm-hmm. No, who?
Liz Taylor.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she hasn't been seen much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
nobody's seen her around anyway. Nobody's seen her hardly anywhere around since that whole thing.
A lot of people are checking out and having fun. So Elizabeth Taylor, she figured it out after he transitioned. Wow, look what he did. So she's doing it. So
yeah,
hope she hears the show. Are we
going to
get sued, Ion, for exposing these people? And I actually asked Ion that, and I said, nah, they don't care. They're too good of a time.
Right.
This is revolutionary information for the working class. They got to get hip to how their supposed overlord bourgeois people aren't so dumb or materialistic as they think. You know what I mean? Catch up with the quote rich.
Yeah. So who
while we're trying
right
to
now,
convince the human?
Is there anybody?
Okay,
listening?
First of all, James, Ian was saying something. What were we going to say, Ian?
The whole thing that you're trying to poke at it. Is if you can figure out the difference between power and authority, you won't have all that questioning. You'll be so busy pleasing and delighting yourself, you won't care what Mel had to say on radar this week.
Yes,
right.
I mean, yeah, you'd rather be happy than right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, James, you were going to say?
Is there anybody that's listening to this that's on a level of, like, you know, Elizabeth Taylor or whatever that's actually planning on doing, following the footsteps of Michael Jackson and Brittany Murphy and God knows how many other people have done that?
If it becomes necessary, but that's only after a span of time. You know, you go 50 more years and Elizabeth she's tweeting on the looky box, and you kind of start doing that math and you go, you know, Elizabeth looks pretty good. She's 153 years old. Wait a minute. So after a while, you just sort of drift in and out of that process. And then they'll have a big ceremony and make some money checks and blah, blah, blah. It's all relative.
Are some of these celebrities today hearing us for the first time and saying, wow, I can look into this? Are they being turned on to this notion by what we're talking about?
Of course. It's a practical magic that you don't have to buy anything to get. You don't have to poke at anything. You don't have to worry that someone's going to give you tainted advice and that you're going to get crossways of something. And so far, Carolyn has kept Bob from mixing up the Kool-Aid for everybody to drink the Kool-Aid. He's not going to shake them up, but he's not offering any Kool-Aid for anybody to drink. And it becomes a very placated, wonderful place of individual humans coming back to the place where they were originally anyway. So, of course, from a homeopathic standpoint, that becomes less is more. Mm. And then you start playing with this a little bit, and then it just becomes a supper club for the ascended.
Supper club for the ascended. I love that.
Yeah, I thought I heard offended. There's a fine line between the ascended and the offended.
Well, yes. Just check in TMZ. There's a fine line.
Yeah. So James, this is, don't you think we've upped the ante about this whole phenomenon of faking your death? We have a whole new level now as a result of Kurt Weller asking me about Brittany Murphy.
Was Saddam Hussein using an alternate body when they hung him?
Yes, certainly. Where did Saddam Hussein come from? He was chosen by the U.S. to overthrow the old Ayatollah. They put him into power, and then he was the heavy to get out, and it was no problem.
Okay, so where is he now?
Long Island.
He's not at the Playboy Mansion?
Nope, he's in Long Island.
Has he done facial surgery or?
No, he just shaved.
Hmm.
So and when people, I got to ask this: if somebody were to do something like this, and the belief is put up by the media all over the place, all over the world, and it's just hammered down everybody's throats, if he were to walk down the street in New York, and he just because he looks like Saddam Hussein, nobody would believe it would be him, right?
Of course, exactly.
Right.
That's why they can hear flatulence. They can hear flatulence from anyone on the planet, but they can't find Osama bin Laden.
So how much
it's
was
an anomaly. He just can't be found. He's brighter than the brightest. He's bigger
right.
than the big. He's bigger than God. He's got it all whooped. He's on
That's
dialysis,
right.
but he can't get too far from the machine, so don't worry about it. But he's not available to take your call right now, but if you'll leave your name and number, I'm sure he'll get back to you just as soon as he can.
What businesses is he involved in now?
Oh, no, he's just enjoying his retirement.
Is he a parallel worlder?
Not so much.
He just used a double to take the hit.
Well, he didn't. It was arranged.
Okay, so... any more questions on that, James?
No. I think we got that one covered, everybody. So he's in New York, probably going to strip clubs, drinking, hanging out, doing whatever, walking around, and nobody even has any idea about it.
Does he know about our show, Ion?
No.
He doesn't know. He hasn't heard it yet. Okay,
Just waiting on the next episode to see what the situation's going to be on Jersey Shore.
Okay.
What about his family, Ion? Are they aware of what happened?
Yes, and you don't hear a peep out of any of them anymore, do you?
Mm.
Well, did his sons use doubles, or were they murdered?
Well, yes and yes.
Oh, okay, so his sons are still alive.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Does Bill Clinton have a clone?
There you go, James.
Bill Clinton has a clone, correct? Or a double?
Couple
Ion?
A couple of them.
Mm-hmm. A couple of them. Is it the couple of the clones, the ones that have the affairs with Lewinsky, or was it the real guy?
What's the difference?
for Lewinsky, I guess. No difference for Monica.
No.
Does Hillary have doubles, Ion?
Yes.
Oh, and people should look at on informationfarm.blogspot.com. We do a great dissertation on the career of Hillary Clinton, where she came from and why she became president, is president, and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a really great one. That's a great one. Really great one.
Yeah, James, you sent an email last week. Everybody should hear that. Now, what is it, the whole economic structure we talk about, or the Hillary part? What did you like?
The whole economic structure, because that I don't think anybody's really heard that in its entirety. I think that was the best one that summarizes the money situation and the players involved. That's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and then what's up there now? We did with Ion Kathy O'Brien, the famous sex slave for Bush, Ford, and Reagan, and MK Ultra victim, and we did David Icke, and then we did Catherine Austin Fitz, who is a successful Wall Street board member of some company and did well financially, and then she became head of HUD or assistant something for HUD in the first Bush administration, and that led to problems. And what are the forms that she implemented? What are they called, Ion?
Oh, the URLA and a HUD-1.
Right, which is put a bottleneck in
transparency. Was supposed to offer transparency in the lending vehicle, but of course it's bit him in the butt.
Right, and so she had a battle with Paul Volcker, who wanted not that kind of bureaucratic interference so that they could clean up their whole debts they got from the 70s and 60s, and so that didn't work. So she left.
Right.
She left.
And the casinos didn't want to pay taxes either, so yeah.
Okay, so she left government, and she started her own activist situation helping farmers, and she's featured, I think, on the alternative media a lot. But anyway, she laid out a very interesting statement on her understanding of Mr. Global and the virtual economy, which led to a really good discussion, I would say, between Ion and me and Ed about what the implications of what she was saying. And so I recommend that Catherine Austin Fitz as an addendum to what you learn in the Joseph Farrell thing. They both work together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've talked about everybody else's genitalia on the planet. Bob, you've told everybody else's secrets that's out there. Bob, you've exposed, you've become the whistleblower, or don't blow it if you're the whistleblower. You told everybody all these mystical wonderings and phantasmations that these things are occurring, taking place, and are in your outer kingdom as is. Why don't you tell them now how they can do it too, how they can come into their place of power? Why can't you suggest to them, oh, by the way, everybody, just for the record, Bob's also now quite a prolific Bible scholar.
Oh, yes. Go to howionic.com and look in the catalog section. We have incredible tapes and recordings available that supplement what you're hearing on the show. You actually get more from these than you do on the show. Though if you do listen to those recordings and catch up on that, then you get a lot more out of the radio show because you can hear between the lines. But we've done an unbelievable exegesis of the Book of Revelations. It was sparked by Ed suggesting we do it. Now, I personally and Carolyn had done a bit on the Book of Revelations. Ion's been hankering since he showed up to explain the Bible. It didn't interest me at all. Didn't want to do it. I'm not interested in doing the Acts and all the stuff that Ion says is going to be done. You can do it, James. You can go through the Bible with Ion.
Oh, that's – you're going to get the whole the entire meme of Mel Gibson's movie. It'll be hinged to that, sucking it like it's the Last Supper. They'll love it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you mentioned Mel Gibson. Well, during the Kathy O'Brien, David Icke thing, Ion suddenly brought up Mel Gibson's movie Conspiracy Theory from the 90s and did this incredible, I don't know, 22-minute rant and details of the movie, and this, that's what impresses me, is Ion can go into details of any movie you bring up, no matter what. And that's an astounding Android meme memory that Ion can do. But so anyways, we can do the maybe forthcoming, but as we did with Ed, the Book of Revelations, I realized, no, this requires extra hours, and we're going to charge for this stuff. So we've done 20 hours so far up to chapter 16 or so, 16, 17, the Book of Revelations. And what could you say? It's never been heard before, and it clarifies it and actually brings us right up to today. Last night.
The beginning. And if you were confounded and confused by John the Revelator's version of the end times or the beginning times or when time on earth shall be no more, because of Bob's superlative lemon squeezing, not the chapters, but every word of Revelation has been thoroughly and completely now unearthed, so that even Bob gets revelation now. That ought to tell you something, everybody.
Yeah, what's interesting, having done every word, there actually aren't that many words, and it's not confusing. You have this blur, and you don't read it, and you don't know how to read it, and you just think, oh, it's a lot of words. Well, there isn't that many words. It's so crystal clear now.
Very good. And then so now you're not surprised, so now it's not anomalous. So now it's like, oh, so that's who the dragon is. Oh, so that's what those degrees of separation between the branches of the government. Oh, so that's the geographic location, and explains it in detail. So then you can separate it out if you still want to go with the bodies, Bob's five bodies, to sift it out, put it in these different, it's like sorting laundry. You want to use mini baskets to sort your laundry out, you can do that. Then get to all the whites and wash them, and all the colors and wash them, and all the blue jeans and wash them. And then you can, it makes it much simpler to get through the laundry rather than it piling up on you, and it becomes a hopeless task. And then you have to sit and listen to how everybody else's dreams are consistently coming true and why yours can't.
So we were just saying, like Jane in Vancouver said here, because we were right on this, I'm wondering if we were to travel to a parallel world, would we not run into a different version of ourselves there? If so, what then? So are you going to tell us how to do that, Bob, or Ion?
Well, yeah, that happens all the time already right here anyway. You're in there getting a haircut, and you're getting your mani-pedi, or they're giving you some color, or one of those deep conditioning treatments to your hair, and you turn around and look in the mirror, and then you see somebody over there that looks just like you, because nobody else in town gives a haircut like Bouchon. And so you see yourself, and you just displace it as, no. Gosh, they really have great taste in clothes. Look at those shoes. That's really cool. That's a really hip. I'd like to buy that person a drink. Isn't that what Stoli does with Hugh, sitting one in the suit and one in the bathrobe asking, would you have a drink with you? They're kind of laying it out for you, are they not?
Who's Hugh and Stoli?
Stoli's a
Hugh
drink.
Hefner. Stoli's vodka. It's a commercial where Hugh's having a drink with Hugh, and the commercial is, would you drink with you?
There's a pun right there. The distance between Hugh and Hugh.
Very good.
And Beth says, hi, guys and gals. Loving the show. Fascinating to listen to. I'm wondering if Dick Clark knows about this parallel thing.
Ion?
Well, it's been exposed, yes.
You mean he's been exposed to it?
Yes.
Because he was around so many celebrities, rock and rollers.
Right.
How come Jimi Hendrix? Did Jimi Hendrix know about this?
He's still around.
Oh, Hendrix is dead.
Well, and Jeff isn't dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, Janis Joplin did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. We gotta ask. What about Jim Morrison? Jim Morrison from the Doors.
We just said.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it, and you said sort of.
Right. He pops in and out.
He's not as good at it as Michael and John Lennon?
He just can't stand it. He can't stand missing it. It's like a moth to a flame. Some they just can't stand it.
He can't stand doing it.
Going and not coming back. Missing the attention, missing the stirring up, missing the orgy of the moment.
So he comes back and enjoys himself here more.
Regularly, yeah.
But he finds it hard to get back.
Indeed.
Right, so he doesn't do it that much, is your point.
Correct, but he can't stand it. It makes it not a comfortable position. Because we're just trying to convince human creators to get happy in the skin that you're in. And once you get happy in the skin that you're in, then that skin you take yourself with you most everywhere you go, then it won't be an issue or a problem.
So Jim, if he heard, had a private reading with Ion, he could figure out how to use his legend or whatever to be more efficient at it.
I thought Carolyn said that you couldn't talk about private readings on the radio, Bob.
No, she never said that. Did you say that, Carolyn?
I'm implying that Jim has been talking to us.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't get that. Wow.
Well, behave yourself, Bob, or they'll stick the censors on you.
Oh, okay. So Maria says, I can't believe it.
Very good, Maria.
She actually says, that's her location. I can't believe it. I don't know if she meant that, Maria, if you meant location. Hi, everybody. So there is a place like in the movie The Island, full of clones of the Richies.
Sure, but it's not an island. It's just normal.
It's normal. She's mixing it. No, these people who are parallel worlding are not clones. There are clones.
Wait. This is a Michael Bay picture directed by Michael Bay called The Island, where all the rich and very wealthy decide that they want to live to 150, 200, so they harvest and clone their organs or whatever, and then it's all secretly done and nobody knows anything about it, and then one of the clones realizes that something's going on here, and then the whole thing is busted open. So that's going on right in front of everybody today in various places?
No, not okay. The cloning. Okay. Not the cloning. They just go to other worlds.
Yeah, in other worlds, they don't have issues with stem cell research like you do here.
Right.
And so to have other bodies with your own DNA, which in this world you don't even know what it is, by stars you're using DNA or the eyelash that you know about DNA, you're just trying to get a convicted rapist out of prison after they've served 15 or 20 years. That's what DNA is doing for you so far. Gotta love that science. Ooh, yes, Lord, get y'all some more of that science. It's serving you so well. But in other worlds, it's no problem, no big deal. James, you go to another world, you pick out another one of you if you don't want to be here anymore, and you're dead. They find the body, they match it like they're going to do a DNA test to see if it's really you, for Pete's sake. We don't think that's included in the standard of care of the typical autopsy.
That's right.
Of a DNA. And so, therefore, now you're dead. Okay, now you're dead. Now you, James, your constitution says that you are whoever you say you are. Don't you think it's odd that they would include such a reprehensible edict in the founding fathers of your U.S. country? Why would they need to put a sentence in there saying you are who you say you are? Why would that be included? Well, of course, it gives an out. So you could walk into the court and say, hey, y'all, I'm Carol Channing. Hello, Dolly. And there's not one flipping thing they could do.
Wow. Because they knew the fathers, these deists who were innumerable parallel worlding, they knew that people could present themselves in many ways because there's so many versions of themselves that you just deal with the surface. If a guy says it up.
Well, they weren't trying to hide anything, Bob. They were the founding fathers of what? The New World.
You just gave me an idea, Ion. Once I master this parallel worlding, I could boast about what I did last night in other worlds, right?
Well, but you've already done it there. You've already done it there, so they'd say, whoopee shit.
They wouldn't be impressed. So,
You mean you actually charge for that service in other words, in the world you come from? Yes.
Get out.
You mean what? You charge for that? Oh, yes, yes. Oh, it's a great big thing. It's a great thing. No, no, now, come on now. You've told a lot of stuff, but now, nobody would be silly enough to do that. Yeah. It's a great big thing. It's what all the bastions of industry are all about. No. Golly, Pete, there's got to be much better things to do with your timing.
With your timing, not your time. So guess what, James? We now have a syndrome starting immediately where people take their favorite stars and they can start finding out and saying, well, Bob Marley did it, and your stupid Russell Simmons couldn't do it. You know, I mean, people are going to hope that they're stars. So Bethan Organ says, may I ask if Bob Marley knew as well?
Yeah.
So Bob Marley's fans can be happy that their guy was in the know.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't know, Ion?
Yeah, who doesn't know?
Who?
Oh, Peter Townsend.
Not, no.
Peter Townsend.
Who?
The who. Okay, sorry, I interrupted there. Go ahead. Who? You were going to do it.
Who?
Real...
Who?
Yeah. Who doesn't know?
Hooty Hoot.
He's disagreeing with your six degrees.
Oh, I'm asking a 6 degree of separation term. You can't start with who, what, when, where, why, how, and...
Sometimes you get away with it, but...
Yeah, you can't...
Not now.
You can't begin it. You can't get high on an interesting topic. Is there anybody who does not know, in the showbiz world, who's a famous name, who does not know about the parallel worlding opportunities?
Yes.
Are they in the majority of those people in show biz?
The people in show business don't even know if they're in show business or not. So, I mean, are you going to include all those starving waitresses that are wannabes? or do you have to sleep with Martin Scorsese to hit the big time?
Usually you have to sleep with Martin Scorsese to hit the big time.
Yeah, I just want to say to Beth in Oregon, you would email ion@howionic.com, H-O-W-I-O-N-I-C, for a reading, ion@howionic.com. So, James, pick a person.
Okay, I wanted to give homage to Ion here because it looks like our broadcast when we were talking about the Michael Jackson issue, because I haven't really looked since we've done all this, but everything that Ion said about the top reasons why he faked his death are all on eonline.com now. I just looked at them and I'm looking at this. I'm like, now Ion said every single one of these things over and over again. And there's more evidence to support what Ion was saying, in depth, including more detail. Basically, all the bullet points that Ion mentioned are now on Eonline, which is interesting. So they took it all from you.
What site?
Ion?
Yeah. What site is this at?
It's on Eonline. It says, the five, Michael Jackson died 1 year ago Thursday, unless that is you believe that he, pop legend, didn't die, in which case Thursday marks the 1 year anniversary of his faked death. In honor of the latter milestone, we've mined the leading theories as to how and why Jackson pulled on Elvis. The list is best read with an open mind, if not an invisible suit. Number one, he was under enormous pressure. This per Cassandra Gretchen Simmons, widely ID'd as Jackson's death hoax sites and message boards as Jackson's insider. In an interview on a journalist Derek Klontz website, Gretchen Simmons says Jackson fakes his death in order to relieve the stress weighing upon him and asserts the singer intends to reappear this month for a world tour. Yeah, right. And then number two, the autopsy was as fake as MJ's death. A living man can't be autopsied. Now, can he? It goes on and on, and then it goes into his body doubles, and it goes into... the 33 Clues about the Jackson concert movie, also that's Ion. Liberian Girl really explains it in the 1989 music video in which a bevy of stars, Steven Spielberg, John Travolta, Whoopi Goldberg, gather on set to await Jackson, only to learn that he, crafty, fun-loving MJ, has been filming him all along, seems to be the one thing, perhaps above all others, that gives the death hoaxers believers hope. This, and then it gives a clip, you know, actually how he was filming his death and the whole thing. So all of that, Ion, you said it first.
Oh yeah.
we laid out 37. It's a July show. 37 points, questions. But James, I'm going to predict that they do not go into the foundation trustee contradictions of the law and how that was set up. Do they mention that?
No, they won't do that. And he wants to stay in business, so.
Yeah, that's right, the most important one. That's the most important one. And Jackson's actually back because of what we revealed. There's been a little bit of a crimp on what he's doing, and he's had to, I don't know, clean it up or do some moves to counter what Ion has exposed. So, and it goes into this foundational stuff, which I guess is too legal for the consumer they imagine they have at E-Online.
Exactly.
Because inquiring minds really want to know, don't they, Bob?
Yes. So we have Lynette. She says, location in the Los Angeles region. Ion, there was a window at a friend's house that recently went missing. This is a window. Did I go to another world, and when did I go? I don't see how that relates to a window. The window.
The window. Yes, the window disappeared. She removed the window as it was a portal. He removed the window so she wouldn't have that issue again.
Wouldn't have what issue?
Going to the other world.
Because she went through the window the first time?
Right.
So there was a window at a friend's house that really, this happened at a friend's house.
Right.
So she's at a friend's house and she goes through the window to another world, and then she removed the window when she came back?
Yeah, Lynette, why don't you call in and give us the details on this, and you can speak to Ion yourself. This is interesting.
Yeah, because you go, did I go to another world? When did I go? That means she's not fully cognizant of why she removed the window.
Right. Exactly.
Is that the case often, Ion, is when occurrences like this occur with people? They don't.
Okay. If you engage the false premise of time, then it's no wonder that so many of the aliens are rectally probing you, trying to figure out why you're embracing the false premise of time. So they're going at it from the rectum to see if they can make sense out of it, because they're pretty bright and they can't figure out why you're so enthralled with this time business. You created it, and now you're judged by it. Well, if you have a rule in the labyrinth of your mind, you will not allow you to usurp the rules and the regulations that you set up in your place of in your mind. So if you engage this time business and you go to another world and you come back just before you left, then that would exclude it from your timeline of your reality, and your mind would say in your short term you might have some recollection, but in your long term memory it would have been, no, this can't be, I'm here right now. I couldn't have been there then, because then I would have been there then. And then the then that I knew that was there couldn't be the this then that is now, because I haven't experienced it yet. Well, if this yet isn't that yet, and this yet can't catch up to what that yet was, wait a minute. I better leave this to the professionals. I don't even know that. How could I go if it's before I left? Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't have time, that's painless. No problem.
Well, so, that's very good. You got the two memories, long-term and short-term. That's the basic biological apparatus in the mind that is causing this confusion.
Yeah. So we're saying, great, don't remember, triangulate. When you triangulate, then you'll find where you put the mirror, window. And then you're going, holy crap, how did I know where the disappearing window went to? And then you're like, uh-oh, there's something afoot here. Did I go to a parallel world? Well, I don't know, but did I get outside of myself to go remove this window and put it somewhere else so I wouldn't go back through this portal again, so I'd notice and have the question to get involved with this crazy non-physical on Bob's cessation of reality show and come into a place where I might find a place to come into my place of power. Hey, this sounds like fun. Hey, I've tweeted about lots less interesting things, so why? What the hell? Why not? Let's see what's here.
So, Ion, for a lot of people that this is, people are experiencing this type of thing and that aren't hearing us here, do many people that are doing this, get driven into, I don't know, not madness, but anxiety so much so they can end up at a psychiatrist's office thinking that they have a real problem with their memories?
Are we now speaking to the ones, are we now speaking to the ones who aren't listening now, James?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. To all those that aren't listening to Achieve Radio's version of Cash Flow, okay, yes, if you find yourself going to the rapist and you really want to get and you're into that kind of thing, go for it. But if not, if the rapist isn't doing it for you or if they just keep handing you another handful of pills, now, if you like the pills, tear it up. We're okay with that, you know. People smoke things, huff things, puff things, drink things, sip things, slurp things, shoot things. They do all kinds of things. So, you know, tear it up. It's all right with us. It's perfect. It's your life. You can do it what you want to. So if that's the case and the rapist isn't serving you well, then okay, fine. But if it's just because you're having an anomalous block that you're bigger than yourself and you're having to abdicate your power to another or to the rapist at hand that's going to get you into your place of power and they're able to do that, we say continue right along. But after a little while, you'll know how they felt, and you'll feel the same way. But then you will find that your place of power then is just that, your place of power. So we don't have problems with rapists. They're wonderful. They serve a great purpose.
Well said. Well said. Very well said. They're going to have to change the DSM-5 when it comes out. Thanks.
Now, wait a minute, James. Now, James, how do you spell therapist?
Rapist. I gotcha. Very good. So the DSM-5, Bob and Ion and Carolyn, they're going to have to change the whole thing now thanks to you. Ion?
It's happened before and it will happen again.
Yeah.
It will happen again.
And next time you see Diane Sawyer and she tells you about the latest BP spill, you go, oh?
No, you tell her, you tell sister to comb her hair next time she does the BP spill. Lord, suffering cats, what was going on? They had more emails about her hair than they did what she was talking about.
Well, it's interesting. We need to start doing a collective oh-oh to everything that anybody ever says about anything on the major news networks. Okay,
absolutely.
James, Norman Houston, she's all excited. I said her name. She's getting ready. She thinks it's a good question. Here it is. Bob, I think you should try out this portal hopping thing and report back to us. Oh, okay, I want to say, Norman, that I used to do it a lot, but what I did last night is so awesome that portaling is small potatoes for me. What I do, I don't even have to go anywhere, and everybody's coming to me. So everybody's actually looking for me. I'm in Parallel World 1, and I'm actually the guy at the end of the restaurant, at the end of the universe that everybody's traveling towards. I'm the guy, so I actually hang around in this dimensionless place that I'm appearing to be in to receive my guests, and you can be a guest. Just start portaling, and you'll find me. Now, then you could retrospectively wonder, did Bob come to me, or this is a magnet? Did Bob come to me, or I go to Bob? So, yes, portaling is easy, but I'm on another level now, so you're welcome. Welcome to join me.
Good.
So, Bob, what you're trying to tell her is that, Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore. Is that the point?
Yeah, you're in Dogstown now.
Oh, good. And don't you be giving MK Ultra all the credit for it either.
All right.
Yeah, all right. We did a whole thing on MK Ultra too.
Interesting. Okay, we got a caller. I don't want to keep him on hold too long. Lynette from LA, you're live on the air with Ion. Go ahead.
I was just calling about the window, the missing window.
Hey, darling, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm great.
Good.
Thanks for calling in.
Do you have some askings?
When did the window disappear? Like, how did the window disappear? Maybe it's me that made the window disappear?
Yes. No, it's not disappear, honey. When you were in another world, it was a little bit shocking for you. Not like earth-shattering. It was just an anomaly. You have had anomalies in your world. Well, uh-huh. It's just an anomaly. And then you're like, wait a minute. This is my neighbor's window. That's the issuance of this problem. That's the refrigerator wine storage facility that makes it work. Well, I want to get better at this before I start jumping in worlds. It's kind of like, Ion, you know, I'd really like to get better in this world before I start jumping into other worlds.
Yeah, totally.
You said, I know what I'll do. I'll store the window safely away.
Uh-huh.
There, we'll know that's the pinpoint, and I'll store it away. And when I figure out where the window is, I'll know that it was me, and I'll know my place and point of power. So while you look for the window, don't have to stop your world to stop everything to find this lost window. It's right there before your eyes. When you find the window, you'll know. You won't think. You'll know because you're like, holy crap, I knew where this window is. Well, if I didn't do it, how did I, how degrees of separation, how did I know where the window was? How did the window then find me again?
So I should just wait for the window to find me?
Yeah, and just start having fun. Life's supposed to be fun.
Just enjoy.
For it to have fun. Enjoy. Now, how do you spell that? I-N, capital J-O-Y. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And get so happy you don't care what's going on and what everybody else is thinking and what kind of bowel movement Mel Gibson had this week and all this kind of tomfoolery foolishness. That you get so happy, busy, pleasing, delighting yourself and coming into your place of power. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. It's fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah, with that. To give me a context, you're at your friend's house and something happened to you while you were there?
No, I was there and I saw the window and he actually made a point of it to point it out to me and to mention, to have a little conversation about the window. And then I went back later, a couple months later, and I noticed the window was gone. And I was like, wasn't there a window there? And he's like, no, there was never a window there.
I see. So in retrospect, you're wondering what you were doing the first time when he explained talking about the window. You're now thinking, oh, I was in another world talking to my friend about a window that he denies now, he or she denies now, right?
Actually, it was in this world, and you removed the window as your point. It was the point for this conversation that you're having right here, right now. And you can go back again when you find the window, and then you'll know, you won't wonder, you'll know that becomes a portal for you to engage. But now there are many, 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 many that you engage.
Many portals. Any portals.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
Lynette, have you ever called yourself getting lost in your closet?
Have I ever caught myself getting lost in the closet?
Yeah. In your closet.
Have I ever caught myself getting lost in my closet? Yes, I guess I could say that, maybe. Okay.
Well, and see, you would pass that off as just being persnickety to pick out, I have all these clothes and nothing to wear, you know the story, rah, rah, rah. But
sure.
Actually, for you, that's a little more interesting. That's a little more interesting.
It is very interesting for me. True.
Yeah, you can spend days in your closet and still think that's okay. Now, what kind of crazy fun is that?
I know. Okay. That's so interesting.
You come on, Ion. You come on this show. The most intimate, hyper-subjective experiences you have will be noticed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
no one's ever said that to you. You've only thought that to yourself if you even did notice it, right? About the closet.
I actually don't have a closet, but Ion would know this, but something like that. It's interesting. It's interesting, yes.
Mm-hmm. You mean you know what Ion's referring to?
Yes, I know. I think I know what he's referring to. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that the friend was talking to you about the window, and you go back, and there's no window, and the friend doesn't remember telling you, and Ion, you're saying that the conversation where the friend was talking about the window, that is in this world?
Yes. Yes, yes.
And that I just...
are in this world.
And that I just changed it.
You removed it, and you, so you could have this point of, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Because I'm trying
to just pass it off as...
Because I'm trying to come into my place of power, and I'm using that as a means by which, as a reference point.
Absolutely. That's why we love Vestal Goodman when she's talking about looking for a city. That's wonderful. That's what she was trying to say, too.
Looking for a reason, Ion substitutes the lyric. Looking for a city.
Looking for a reason. Yes, yes. And, because, and this is like I'm playing. I'm testing this power out.
So that it doesn't offend your mind. You probably haven't heard this before. You have the trinity of your physical, non-physical, and the labyrinth of your mind. And the key point in your relationship between you and you is you can't offend the rules of your mind. You can't offend your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real control point here. And there's nothing wrong with having rules. It's just that what would you say, Ion? You can't get rid of them, but you can overlay them.
Right, but we don't say go make up a bunch of rules that then you got to overlay.
What do you say?
Don't have all the crazy rules. They're not serving you.
But you have said that you can't change the rules you have.
Right. No, we said that your mind will not allow you to usurp your rules of your mind.
So you just overlay.
When you overlay, that's like creating other rules to be involved with.
Right. Sorry, it's a little loud. JW is just getting home.
Lynette, JW is the vehicle that Ion possesses.
Yes, yes.
Has JW been driving while allowing Ion?
No, letting the helicopter bring the other JW in.
Oh yeah, there's more than one. Wow, James, this is a breakthrough. We actually have the admission of what goes on down there in Georgia with the five JWs. Lynette, you're talking.
Oh, Carolyn, run get a Kodak so Legend can have his very own copy.
Oh,
we'll get your relatives there to take a picture to prove this.
To prove this. Prove this.
That's great. What a great sound effect.
The registration of that helicopter, too. Yeah.
You get this, James. We got the sound effect of other JWs flying in. JW's got his own airport there.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard a chopper overhead.
Just a little piece of ground. It's no big deal.
The piece of ground. So, Lynette, do you understand what we're talking about?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Apparently, this voice, Ion, has made itself available to us because JW, an actual person in his 40s, who allows this to happen, not an entity, and then we find out there's more than one chemical body, physical body of JW running around, and apparently I've got other bodies, you've got other bodies, Lynette. And part of this is allowing ourselves to experience our other selves. What, are you drowning me out, Ion?
Oh, no, sorry. They're just getting close. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very unusual because JW's house is in a no-fly zone.
Yeah.
But how else do you get there? If you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
No,
when you want it to be.
In all the hours that I've talked to JW on the phone, I'm in Maui, he's in Georgia, I've never heard these sounds. This is interesting, James.
Wow, no, neither have I.
Timing's stuck, but it's almost time for the break, but apparently they were a little, maybe their timing was off, so nobody heard.
So Beth in Oregon, she keeps, she writes in, may I ask if Bob Marley knew as well? We said yes, and she goes, Rasta, Rasta. What does Rasta, Rasta mean? That means like, yeah, yeah, or great.
Yeah, Rastafarian. Yeah, 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 man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man, okay. And then she then says, James.
Boom, boom goes the dynamite.
Then she comes back, Ethan Organ James. May I ask, Ion, which parallel world is Bob Marley hanging out on?
6140.
Right, because all these worlds
mostly,
have.
Mostly. We use numbers just because that's easier, and we got to give the numerologist something to do.